Well, if you have a Bible nearby, I'd like to invite you to open it up to the book of Matthew, and today we're going to be in chapter 5. For those who are joining for the first time, we're in the middle of a series here at Trinity Church in which we've entitled A World Upside Down. Together, what we're doing is we're discovering what Scripture teaches us it means to live the blessed life. And to do this, we're unpacking what might be Jesus's most famous teaching, the Sermon on the Mount. I think all of us would agree that everyone wants to be blessed. We all want to live the blessed life. But how often do we stop and ask, what does it mean to be blessed? Most would say that to be blessed would be to have the things that make for a comfortable life. This would be maybe certain luxuries, certain positions, certain relationships. But interesting, that's not what Jesus tells us is the blessed life. According to Scripture, in the Sermon on the Mount, what we discover is that the blessed life is a life that is rooted in a relationship with Jesus and then flows from that relationship. Scholar David Turner writes in his commentary on Matthew, he says that God initiates blessing by graciously condescending to save people. True blessing is to know Jesus and to have our lives shaped by him. And in order to walk that out, in order to help us on the journey, God has given us the Sermon on the Mount. So if you have your Bible again, Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to start in verse number 13. Jesus, speaking to his disciples, says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." You are the salt of the earth. When I was a kid, my grandmother used to use a similar phrase to describe individuals. She would say, you know, that guy, he is just the salt of the earth. And I remember that because as a kid, I had no clue what she was talking about. I was like, what do you mean he's the salt of the earth? And as I got older, I don't know if someone explained it to me or I figured it out, but I came to realize that what she meant was, is that person was of good nature, right? They were honest, they were kind, they were trustworthy. You know, when we read Scripture, we have to be careful because it's easy to import how we might use a phrase into the text and therefore change what the text is trying to communicate to us. It'd be easy to think that what Jesus is telling his disciples is, you know, just be good people, be kind, be trustworthy. And while those things hit the followers of Jesus should absolutely be, that's not exactly what Jesus is speaking here when he says, "You are the salt of the earth." Jesus isn't talking about just kind of be a good person. What Jesus is talking about is be a person who has an impact. You know, when we think of salt, we might think of how we put salt on our food for flavor. Or if you are here in Wisconsin, how we like baptize our roads in salt during the winter. It's everywhere. You know, that's what we may think of when we think of salt. But in Jesus's day, salt was used to preserve and to purify food, namely meat. In the first century, right, they didn't have freezers. They didn't have refrigerators like we have in our homes. So to keep meat fresh, they would use salt. An article on Very Well Health states this: "Salt kills microbes. High salt is toxic to most, not all microbes, because the effect of osmolarity or water pressure. In very high salt solutions, many microbes will rupture due to the difference in pressure between the outside and inside of the organism. High salt can also be toxic to internal processes of microbes, affecting DNA and enzymes. So think about it. Salt not only aids in the preserving of meat, but it actually can purify meat because it kills the organisms that live or grow in meat that would cause the meat to spoil and get us sick. Jesus said his disciples should be like that salt, that we should be salt in the world. Dr. James Boyce writes in his commentary on the Sermon on the Mount, he said that when Jesus said that those who followed him were the salt of the earth, therefore, he was teaching that the world apart from God is rotten because of sin, but that through his power, his disciples were able to, actually obligated to, have a preserving and purifying effect upon it. You know, we might look at the brokenness of this world and we might be tempted to think, there's nothing I can do. The brokenness of this world, it's just too big. There's nothing I can do to make a difference. You know, I understand that. I understand that feeling. I understand feeling small compared to maybe a big battle. But yet Jesus said this. Jesus said that we can make a difference. We can make a difference. I mean, think about it. Jesus wouldn't have called his disciples salt of the earth if they couldn't actually make a difference. When the disciples, when they heard Jesus' words, they interpreted them, they understood them in the context in which they lived, where salt not only preserved, but brought purification to meat, right? So when the disciples heard these words, they knew that what Jesus was saying was that they could preserve the good things of this world and they could bring healing to the broken things. Like salt and meat, Christians, you and I, we are to work to preserve and to bring redemption, healing to this world. Which, of course, raises this question, well, how do we do that? How do we actually embrace this call to be salt in the world? Well, first and foremost, we have to be connected to Jesus. Besides calling the disciples salt, there's another analogy that Jesus uses here, and that is that Christians are to be a light in the darkness. This is really a parallel analogy to Jesus saying you are salt of the earth or salt in the earth. And really what Jesus is doing is he is stressing the same point in two different ways to make sure that the disciples, to make sure we understand what he's getting at, which is to make a difference in the world. And we're able to do this not because we can do it. Actually, we can't. But yet we can because of what God is doing in us. I like the analogy that Dr. Donald Barnhouse gives. And he says this, that Christians are like the moon. We reflect light. As the moon reflects the sun's light, we reflect Jesus's light. Think about the moon, right? The moon shines light in the darkness, but yet the moon has no light of its own. The light that the moon shines is actually the light of the sun being reflected off of the moon and therefore giving light in the darkness. So too, the light that shines from Christians. The light that shines from Christians, it's not our own light. It's the light of Jesus reflecting off of us. It's this. It's God doing a work inside of us and through us. Right? It's God transforming us internally. And then that transformation being manifest in our actions and in our words and in our deeds. Right? When that happens, as God is doing a work inside of us, and as it begins to manifest, what happens is we become more Christ-like. We begin displaying God-like mercy. We begin to have compassion and empathy for others. We begin to forgive in ways that maybe we thought we could never forgive before. We begin to practice self-control. We have a desire and a willingness to sacrifice for others. And really, the list goes on and on. Because of what God is doing in us, we're able to be light and salt in the world. If you today, if you find yourself, if maybe you're struggling to have an impact for Jesus, if you're struggling to be salt, if you're struggling to be light, then let me encourage you to begin with your relationship with Jesus, to work on growing your relationship with Jesus, to learn to trust him more and allow him to transform you, to mold you into the person he created you to be. So I want to encourage you to spend time with Jesus. Spend time with him in his word. Spend time with him in prayer, sharing your heart with him. Spend time worshiping him. Be with your church family. Encourage others and be encouraged by others to walk in the paths that God created you for. What God is doing in us eventually leads to what he can do through us, which leads me to their next point, and that is deliberate action. You know, we bring transformation to the world by deliberately choosing to engage in redemptive actions. You know, as I was thinking about this, I thought about just how easy it is to point our finger and kind of say all the things that are wrong, right? It's easy to point our finger at the brokenness of the world, the brokenness of people, even some of the brokenness that we see in the church. It's easy to point our finger and say, this is what is wrong, right? I think we've all met people like that, people who always have something to say, but they're not doing anything about it. You know, Jesus never called us to point our finger and talk about the brokenness. Jesus calls us to engage the brokenness, to bring redemption. Do you see brokenness in this world? Do you see brokenness in people? Do you see brokenness maybe in even your own life? I believe this. I believe that God allows us to see the brokenness because he wants us to do something about it. This had to have been about maybe 11 years ago. I was working in my garage, and I had a cup with some soda in it. And, you know, I was cleaning, doing things, and I finished it. And we had a water spigot in our garage. So I was gonna fill up my cup with some water, but before I could do that, I wanted to rinse it out because it still had some droplets and things of the sorts of soda in it. So I filled it up, kind of swished it around, stepped outside of the garage and dumped the water on our lawn. And when I did that, I was reminded of a story, of an article I had read recently. It was probably maybe within that last week. And it was about the number of children who died daily from water-related illnesses. Because in many parts of the world, people don't have access to clean drinking water. So they're forced to drink contaminated water. And because of that, it causes them to become sick and even die. And I remember very clearly standing in the front of our home, right there on the edge of our kind of garage and our lawn, dumping that water out and thinking, here I am wasting water when other people are dying because they have a lack of access to clean, drinkable water. It hit me like a brick. And I remember going back in. And in the garage, I sat down and I just prayed. And I went, God, show me how I can be a part of the solution. Show me how I can bring redemption to this. And later, within the next couple of days, I was doing some research online and I came across an organization called The Water Project. And I ended up reaching out to the Water Project. And what the Water Project does is they fund the digging of wells in areas around the world where people have a lack of access to clean drinking water. So I reached out to the Water Project and I said, man, I feel this burden on my heart. I see this brokenness. What can I do? And we formed a partnership. And at the time I was leading a college ministry. I was very young in my ministry. I'd only been a pastor for 3-4 years at the time. And over the course of the next 6 months, that ministry, a group of 18 to 24 year olds, our college ministry, we raised all the funding to dig a well in Sierra Leone, Africa. And today, the people in that village have access to clean drinking water because of a burden that God put on my heart while working in my garage. If you are a follower of Jesus, then God is calling you to bring transformation to the world, to engage in the works that are going to preserve the good things of God's creation, and to bring purification, to bring healing, to bring redemption to the broken things, to replace the darkness with light. Dr. Turner writes, he says that a so-called disciple without good works is of no more value than tasteless salt or an invisible lamp. But an authentic disciple affects people, bringing glory to the Heavenly Father. Dr. Boyce, he echoes this. He says that Jesus was saying, those who are my disciples should affect the world positively by the way in which they live. I want to encourage you over the next few days, as this message is maybe fresh with you, as maybe you're thinking about it, I want to encourage you to prayerfully consider what God might be sharing with you, where He might be leading you to have a positive impact for the kingdom of God in this world. What can you do to be light and salt in this world? God might reveal to you something about your family, maybe the home in which you live in, maybe your extended family. Maybe God will show you how you can be light and salt at your school or maybe at your place of employment, in your neighborhood or in the town or the state that we live in. Maybe it's right here at our church. Maybe it's partnering with an organization on the other side of the world. I don't know what God is going to specifically say to you, but I want to encourage you to take the time and consider, to take the time and pray, and then whatever God shows you, to deliberately engage in being a light and salt in this world. And I promise you this, if you will open your heart to God and you will be obedient to whatever it is that He is sharing with you, He will use you in ways that you've never even imagined. Today, there is a child on the other side of the world who is drinking a cup of clean water because of God speaking to me while I was cleaning out my garage. Now, that's not because of me, it's because of Him. I believe this, that God wants to use us. God wants to use us in powerful and mighty ways, but we have to let Him. You know, as we are wrapping up today, having a heart that desires to make a difference, I thought it'd be good for us to close today's service by celebrating communion as a church. You know, communion, it was instituted by Jesus during His final meal with His disciples as a reminder of the price that Jesus was willing to pay to save us. So we eat bread when we celebrate communion. We eat bread as a reminder of Jesus's body broken on the cross. And we drink of the cup, wine, juice, to recall Jesus's blood shed on the cross to redeem us. When speaking of celebrating communion as a church body, the Catholic Catechism states this. It says that the church gives thanks to the Father through Christ in the Holy Spirit for all of His works, creation, redemption, and sanctification. You know, Jesus didn't just create this world. He died to redeem it. Jesus' death and his resurrection, it tells us that this world is worth saving. That this world is worth saving. And that Jesus has provided a way to save us and all of creation. And now he is leading creation towards redemption. When we celebrate communion, we are reminded that God isn't okay with this world being broken. God wants this world healed. So we're going to celebrate communion. And as we do, I want you to see two things. First and foremost, I want you to see communion as a proclamation of faith, that we're trusting and believing that Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sin, to redeem creation. So when we eat the bread and we drink the cup, we are making a profession of faith. We're professing that we're trusting in Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. So if you're watching today and you're not a follower of Jesus, then let me encourage you, maybe instead of eating the bread and drinking the cup and not really understanding and not being able to make that profession, to not engage in that, but instead to consider and to reflect, to read scripture, and to meditate on what Christ has done to save you and to save this world. Secondly, when we partake of communion, when we take these elements into our body, we receive them as a means of grace, that God is moving in them, that by his Spirit, he is calling us. He is calling us to the mission that he has given to the church, and that is to bring redemption to this world, to be salt and light. Now, in order to be able to give time so we can listen and we can approach communion with our hearts right before the Lord, what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to ask you to pause this video for a second time. I want you to pause it, and I want you to spend some time in prayer with the Lord. If there's sin in your life that you need to repent of, then I want to encourage you to repent and to lay that down and to ask God for forgiveness. And I also want you to ask God to show you the brokenness that he's calling you to engage. Ask him to show you how you can be light, how you can be salt. And in faith, commit to engaging that brokenness by God's grace so you can make a difference in the world. And then when you're ready, turn this video back on and we'll take the elements together. Well, now that you're back, will you please pray with me the Lord's Prayer, and then we will take the elements together. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 9. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Well, at this time, I'd like to invite you to grab those elements, the symbols that you set aside earlier. So if you remember, we had one that serves as a representation of Jesus's body and another that serves as a representation of Jesus's blood. And let us eat and drink as a way of confessing our faith that Jesus has died and he has risen to save us from our sins, and that now he is calling us to follow him and to be light and salt in this world. Please join me in partaking of the bread and of the cup. Well, my prayer for you today as we close is that you will reflect the light of Jesus in the dark places of this world, and that like salt, you will help bring purification and preservation to God's creation. Let me pray for us today. Lord Jesus, you've called us to be salt of the earth, to be a light in the darkness, and we want to embrace that call. Lord, show us how we can live like you and how we can bring redemption to this world. We recognize that we can't do this on our own, but only by your Spirit working both in us and through us. So we ask that you would fill us, that you would empower us, give us insight to be salt and light, embolden us so that we won't just talk about what's broken, but that we will engage the broken things of this world with the expectation that you will accomplish your will through us to bring forth transformation. Lord, as we have celebrated communion, we profess that our faith is in Christ. Jesus, thank you for the gift of salvation that you have purchased for us with your life. Thank you for giving yourself so that we can have hope for eternal life. As our life has been ransomed by you, we acknowledge that our life is no longer our own, but it belongs to you. Guide us by your Spirit. Help us to make choices that honor you. And we ask that you would forgive us for the times that we don't. Lord Jesus, again, we thank you for your love. We pray this in your holy name. Amen.